Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to do something slightly unusual here. Generally, I just start with what I have at the beginning of the sermon, but I found an interesting little section in the Reader's Digest. I already shared with the adult Bible class, but I got thinking about it, and I want to share it with the rest of you as well. Think on these words. These are from Matthew Woolforth and the Laughter of the Best Medicine in the Reader's Digest. I work out religiously Christmas and Easter. Those things being said, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? His work is to bring us to faith and to keep us in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Whether that be at our own death, or whether Christ returns in the flesh first. As believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit works in us to believe in Him, and also to do those good things that He has prepared beforehand that we should do them. Over this lifetime of faith, we have various events in our life in the church, and some pastors have begun calling them milestones. One of these milestones we just saw here this morning, baptism, where we had the washing with the Word and the Holy Spirit enters in and begins that work of faith in us. Once we have heard, or our parents have heard, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is good and right that we should desire to be baptized. And for those of us who have already been baptized, it is good for us to remember that we have been baptized. Some Lutherans even do this daily. At this first milestone, we can be assured that we receive God the Holy Spirit, who enables us to hear and to understand His Word. This morning we had three baptisms, and although they were a little bit older than infants, that is not a problem. After all, Jesus commanded that this be done for all nations. And the students that came up here this morning were most certainly a part of all nations. But it is also good and right that infants should be baptized. As we just heard a few moments ago, those who do not receive the kingdom of God, even as a little child, shall not enter it. And so whether it is a child of 0 years all the way up to 160 years, it is good and right that they should be baptized. But in his teaching on baptism at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, our Lord Jesus Christ commanded that his disciples go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that Jesus had commanded them. From this brief passage, then, we learn of the second milestone. The first one is baptism. The second one is being taught our Lord's words. Note that he says, teaching them all that he commanded the disciples, not get confirmed and stop coming to church. Instead, the kind of teaching to which our Lord referred was about himself. This Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And who, being found in human form, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, as we are going to celebrate at the end of this week. He went to that cross to die for our sins. But he did that also to give us an example of the humble service that we should lead as ones living under God. He did that as an example for those of you about to make the good confession of our Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Son of God. And you will soon be saying that you will follow Him and stay with His church even to death. As you've been taught, the entire purpose for Jesus coming, for His state of humiliation as a man, was to go to the cross of Calvary. He perfectly followed His Father's directions. And because of that, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now truly, God could have anointed His Son no matter what name His Son had. As Shakespeare once said, a rose by any name would still smell just as sweet, or something along those lines. And while he is correct in saying this, it makes us stop and ponder. Why did Jesus have the name Jesus? Why is it that the name Jesus Christ should be the one that is exalted above every name? Why might that be? Perhaps someone had a plan for this. And so they did. God had this plan even long before you or I were ever made in our mother's wombs. Long before creation, God already knew what He was going to do when we fell into sin. And that was to send His Son to be our Savior. And that is exactly what Jesus means. Savior. God saves. And so it is good and right that the name Jesus should be above every name. Because it shows us what kind of a God that we have. A saving God. A God who saved not only the Old Testament Israelites, but even His church today. Even the children who were baptized this morning, even those who are going to make the good confession this after this sermon, and all of us here today. That is why Jesus came. So then it was not just by dying on the cross that Jesus brought glory to the Father and our Father, but also by bearing the name that would be above every name. That name brings Him glory as well. Even though that is true, when Paul wrote that every knee should bow to Jesus' name, it would not be out of desire. Sadly, Scripture tells us that not all will believe and trust in God's Word. Some will reject and refuse to believe. And some who even make a good confession at an altar like this one, who say that they will stay in the faith until death, have fallen away or will fall away. And that is sad. So what is it that will keep us from doing the same? Or rather, who is it that will keep us from doing the same? It is God's Holy Spirit. The one who we receive at our baptism. The one who keeps us in the faith whenever we hear the Word of God properly read and taught. It is the Holy Spirit that will keep us in the true faith, forgiving our sins and strengthening our faith through the reception of His Son's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Today you have been made His in the waters of holy baptism. Today you have made the good confession that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And today you have learned some of what He has taught His disciples. But more is to come. More remains to be shown. So once you have made the good confession, once you have said that you believe in Jesus as the Christ, trust in the Holy Spirit. Trust that the Holy Spirit will continue to keep you true to that vow that you make to remain faithful unto death. Trust the Holy Spirit will work when you hear the words from this pulpit and from that lectern, or whichever pulpit or lectern you go to visit that is properly preaching and teaching. Trust that the Holy Spirit will work through the body and blood that you receive at the altars to properly give the sacrament. And He will do it. And He does all of these things for the sake of Jesus, the one who went to the cross for each of us, was raised for each of us, ascended into heaven for each of us, and has the name above every name for you. In Jesus' name, amen.